today, inflation says more rate rises are ahead. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, stronger than expected inflation has increased the chance of another interest rate rise, as the Reserve Bank of Australia Governor Philip Lowe urged the Albanese government to lift productivity to avoid its push for bigger pay rises, fueling higher interest rates. The surprise jump in inflation to 6.8% in April from 6.3% a month earlier was driven by rising rents, a lift in holiday travel costs, and higher transport costs following the unwinding of the temporary cut in the fuel excise last year. And specifically, the ABS said that the monthly consumer price index rose 6.8% in the year to April 2023. This month's annual increase of 6.8% is higher than the 6.3% annual rise reported in March, but is below the high of 8.4% from December. Remember, of course, that the monthly numbers are not as broad as those driven over the quarter, so there is some movement potentially to come later. The ABS said it's important to see a significant contributor of the increase in the annual movement in April was automotive fuel, the halving of the fuel excise tax in April 2022, which was fully unwound in October 2022, is impacting the annual movement for April 2023. CPI inflation is often impacted by items with volatile price changes, such as automotive fuel, fruit and vegetables, and holiday travel. It can be helpful to exclude items with volatile price changes from the headline CPI to provide a view of underlying inflation, and the ABS said when excluding those volatile items, the annual movement in the CPI was 6.5% in April, which was lower than the 6.9% recorded in March. The most significant contributors to the annual increase in the monthly CPI indicator for April was housing, up 8.9%, food and non-alcoholic beverages, up 7.9%, transport, up 7.1%, and recreation and culture, up 6.4%. The annual increase in the housing group in April of 8.9% was lower than the increase in March of 9.5%. Within the housing group, new dwelling prices rose 9.2%, which is the lowest annual growth since February 2022, as building material prices continue to ease, the ABS said. Rent prices, though, rose further from an annual rise of 5.3% in March to 6.1% in April, as the rental market remains tight. Prices for food and non-alcoholic beverages remained high, but did ease slightly from an annual increase of 8.1% in March to 7.9% in April. And food prices, not elsewhere classified, were up 11.7%. That was the main contributor, followed by bread and cereal products up 11.4% and dairy and related products up 14.5%. The annual movement for transport rose to 7.1% off the back of higher petrol prices compared to April last year. Automotive fuel prices were 9.5% higher this month than they were in April 2022, when prices fell following the 22% per litre cut in the fuel excise introduced on the 30th of March 2022. This contrasts to March 2023, which saw an annual fall in fuel prices of 8.2% compared to the high prices recorded in March 2022. While inflation remains below the 8.4% peak reached last December, the RBA is increasingly concerned that price pressures could prove persistent as wages growth accelerates. The persistence in inflation is all the more vexing for the central bank, given that there are signs of its achieving its desired economic slowdown. Partial data suggests that GDP growth ground to a halt in the first 3 months of the year as households cut back on discretionary spending. And personal insolvencies rose 12.6% to 2,494 in the March quarter compared to the same period last year. Some economists are now saying that the monthly consumer price indicator bolstered the case for the RBA to increase the cash rate, which is currently at 3.85% at its meeting on Tuesday. And the ASX forward view of the cash rate also went up yesterday quite substantially. Some money markets, in fact, on Wednesday ascribed a 1 in 3 chance of a 0.25% percentage point interest rate rise next week. That's up from 20% before the release of the monthly CPI data. The release prompted Goldman Sachs chief economist Andrew Bach to revise his forecast for the terminal cash rate up higher to 4.35% from 4.1%, with back-to-back rate rises predicted in both June and July. While part of the upside surprise in headline inflation reflected a strong rebound in volatile holiday travel prices, we view the composition as strong overall, given an acceleration in inflation momentum across rents, new housing, and several durable goods items, he said. And Citi's chief economist, Josh Williamson, said the monthly price movements were higher than expected and made it a live prospect the central bank could raise interest rates at its meeting next Tuesday. Today's report should silence any concerns that the RBA is over-tightening, Williamson said. We now see upside risks in our June quarter inflation forecast of 1.3%, given that services inflation across the remaining months will likely be sticky too. Now, Dr. Lowe, who appeared in front of the Senate Economics Committee, told senators that it would be difficult to engineer a return to the central bank's 2-3% inflation target if unit labour costs, the difference between wages growth and productivity growth, kept growing at rates of 3.5% to 4%.
It's a problem for the country, and it's a problem for the inflation outlook as well. The central banks in other countries are facing exactly the same situation. Growth in unit labour costs is too high. In other countries, wages growth is too strong. In Australia, it isn't, but productivity growth is weak. And it's a problem. If unit labour cost growth is 3.5% to 4%, then it's hard to have 2.5% inflation. So that's the issue that I'm drawing attention to. And the best solution to this is a lift in productivity growth.
Can I ask, just to contextualise those comments that have been reported and you've reiterated now, about why or whether the bank will need to continue rate rises if there is wages growth without productivity growth?
Well, it all depends. We're in very much a data-dependent mode. We've increased interest rates a lot. Monetary policy is restrictive and it's working. And whether we need to increase rates further will depend not only what happens with unit labour costs, what happens with the global economy, with inflation expectations, consumer spending. So they're the variables that we're looking at. It's not a single variable that drives our decisions, it's the collection of those variables. And we do need to pay attention to growth in unit labour costs, because over long periods of time, the price level increases pretty much in line with growth in unit labour costs. There are periods where they differ, but over the medium term, those two things grow together. So if we're going to have 2.5% inflation, we cannot have unit labour costs persistently growing at 3.5% or 4%. So that's a consideration, but there are many other considerations as well.
The Fair Work Commission's annual minimum and award wage decision this coming Friday could in fact prove decisive for the RBA's wages and price outlook, with unions pushing for an inflation matching 7% rise and the Labour government submitting that the lowest pay should not go backwards in real terms. AI Group Chief Executive Innes Willicks said the surprise increase in the monthly indicator made it even more important that the Fair Work Commission exercise restraint in its decision. An excessive increase in the minimum wage could clearly risk further embedding inflation and setting off a wage price spiral, Willicks said. Market economists are concerned that another large minimum wage rise could push inflation in the labour-intensive sectors even higher. And interestingly, Dr. Lowe highlighted recent reports from the Productivity Commission, which had made a number of recommendations in terms of improving productivity. Because if labour productivity doesn't increase from near zero, then current levels of wages growth and large minimum wage rises are inconsistent with low inflation. Given what we're seeing internationally, I think the risk on inflation is more to the upside, and we need to be attentive to that, Dr. Lowe said.
We won't be declaring victory prematurely. You highlight the persistence of inflation overseas, and it's exactly the same issue that I've just been talking about. The goods price inflation has come down. the supply side problems of COVID are being resolved. Commodity prices are back to where they were before the pandemic, and even food prices in global markets are now coming down. So that's all helping, and that's driving headline inflation lower. The issue is services price inflation, which is persistent. And it's persistent because growth in unit labour costs in many countries is high. Wage growth 5% in the US and their productivity growth low. So that's underlying the persistence in inflation around the world. And it's a concern. The only way that we can increase real wages and real incomes is to become better and smarter at doing things. Mm-hmm. To produce more for each hour we go to work. That's how we become wealthier. If every day we go to work, there's no increase in what we do and how productive we are, then we can't pay ourselves higher real wages. The value of our assets won't go up. And there'd be more strain on the public balance sheet. So productivity growth is the way we become wealthier, we pay ourselves higher wages, and the government has more resources to provide the services that we want. So it's incredibly important. What we do about it, well, we do have an organisation called the Productivity Commission, which has written many reports, and it has many very good ideas in it. So there are a lot of things that could be done. The challenge is doing them. So there's no shortage of ideas here. And if you're interested, I once again commend those reports to you.
At page 51 of the Statement of Monetary Policy, it talks about scheduled mortgage payments expected to rise to 9.9% by the end of 2024. Yeah. I'd be interested in a historical analysis of the scheduled mortgage payments. I think the data, the collection for the data might have started in 2009. So if that data set can be provided since 2009.
Yeah, we've got estimates kind of that go back in time. They're not kind of 100% comparable, but they're pretty comparable, and we can provide that data.
That would be great.
This is one reason why our assessment is that monetary policy is quite restrictionary at the moment, that Australians will be devoting a higher share of their income to mortgage payments than ever before.
My suspicion is historically high.
It is.
If not the highest.
It will be the highest.
Since records began.
I can confirm it's the highest.
Okay.
You can confirm it's the highest.
Yeah, yeah.
And very, very briefly on notice, an update on the design of the $5 note would be much appreciated.
Yep. Okay.
And we look forward to seeing you at estimates in October.
Well, perhaps. We'll see.
So standing back, there's a couple of observations. Firstly, of course, the CPI is still pretty stickily high, and that does give the RBA pause for thought in terms of higher rates, which I think are coming. The second is that the CPI number is wobbling around a bit, but unfortunately some of the goods inflation may be under control, but some of the services inflation is clearly getting embedded. And of course, there is still the question as to whether some of those prices are actually being increased more than warranted by the inflation pressure. Well, of course, nobody wants to talk about that, but for me, that's a very important factor. The third is that clearly the RBA is right in highlighting no productivity growth, but nobody really wants to talk about that because, of course, increasing productivity is a critically difficult factor to get right. And whilst the Productivity Commission has written a number of very important reports and made some significant recommendations, well, nobody really wants to follow up on that. So there's a lot of waffle going on about this at the moment. But the bottom line is this. Given everything we're seeing, given the fact that some of the recent interventions by the government could be inflationary, the chances are we're going to see interest rates having to go higher, and we will know more next Tuesday. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.